Coming up on Liberalism in Question.
So artificial intelligence in its most pure form is a machine that can actually do, is human. It reaches consciousness.
Enjoy the show and be sure to follow and subscribe.
Larry, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Why is there so much interest this year in particular about AI?
And probably why is it so scary? Because it seems to be changing so fast. So Rob, AI is an exponential technology, just like quantum or synthetic biology. And after the pandemic, we all understand exponentials in a way that we never have before, this ability for things to grow virally.
On themselves like that, yeah.
Yeah, exponentially. And so basically you look at it one day and it's stupid, it's ridiculous, it can't do anything. So you ignore it and you turn away and you get back to the everyday life. You come back a week or two later, suddenly it's progressed. And by the time you realize that it's actually competing with you, for example, or it's actually working, by the time you realize that, it's way too late. It's gone way past you.
And how is this different from computers that you wrote programs for them and the program, it did thing? What's making it grow exponentially?
Yeah. So
what's new about it?
Sure. So it isn't new. Machine learning, predictive analytics have been around a long time. I saw my first intelligent agent about 10 years ago at Stanford. Intelligent agents are a series of algorithms that are designed to replace the functionality or to replicate the functionality of a human. So at Stanford 10 years ago, they had an intelligent agent accountant. And it could do all of the basic functions that a human accountant could do. And the idea was that if you could produce these capabilities, then you could truly sort of have a startup of one. You could have one human being the innovator, the ideas person, and a series of AIs or intelligent agents to replicate all the basic business functions. Now, that hasn't happened, but we certainly have seen a transition to far more automation of basic business tasks. And this is part of why our productivity, the efficiency of innovation has increased, while we've gone through this amazing period of prosperity.
So AI is supercharging what computers can do and growing upon itself, getting faster and faster in what it's doing. Because one thing that shocked me was, after I'd tried out ChatGP, which was helpful, that leaders in the field were saying, stop for 6 months until we get the rules right. In other words, people were very anxious about this. Why were they anxious?
Yeah, because ChatGPT does have some human characteristics. So firstly, it is just a series of algorithms.
That is a series of, yeah, of programs that run.
Yeah, there is no, according to the sort of most pure definition of artificial intelligence, we're not there yet. So artificial intelligence in its most pure form is a machine that can actually do, is human. It reaches consciousness. We're not there.
And I don't know how we could even know if we're there.
Well, you'd know because the machine would start lying to you to advance itself. It would start replicating bad human character.
So if it had consciousness, it would have, in a sense of self that could be evident in its behavior.
Yeah, exactly. So these algorithms, as powerful as they are, and also we've unleashed a deluge of data. You know, giving AI access to every bit of data on the planet means it can look backwards. It can look at every possible permutation of activity.
Right. Yes, yes.
It learns from looking backwards. And of course, that's its Achilles heel. Humans have this unique ability to create new thought, completely new to world innovation. AI can dramatically accelerate that, but it can't create an idea.
So what was the fear then?
What was the
fear? Oh. And these weren't Luddites, these were people in the field.
No. So people, so you've got to be able to interrogate AI to assure yourself that its conclusion is accurate. If you've used ChatGPT, you know that it will tell you more or less whatever you want it to tell you based on how you ask the question. For example, if you ask it about, you know, tell me the bad side of Larry Marshall, you would get Larry Marshall's a climate denier who presided over the decimation of Australia's national treasure, the CSIRO, and destroyed it. I know that because I asked that question. Now you can ask it another way.
Is it true, Larry?
Well, let me give you an example. When I took over CSIRO in 2015, it had been on 30 years of decline.
Yep.
And the decline was accelerating. So it was in a bad place. But many Australian businesses are in that place because, frankly, back then, Australia was at least a decade behind on its adoption of digital capability. So one of the questions I posed to the scientists, innovation is often about an uncomfortable truth. So what if AI could replace us? What if we could be replaced? Maybe we should try and replace ourselves to find out whether it's possible.
Yes.
Now, that's very scary to any human in any job. Oh, machine's going to replace me. But to their credit, the scientists tried to do it. And essentially what we said was the scientific method relies on a process where a genius scientist has a hypothesis.
Correct.
About science. They know everything about a field of science, physics, chemistry, whatever. So they have a hypothesis, then they do a series of experiments to test it. AI doesn't need a hypothesis. It just needs the data. So what about if we turn the scientific method upside down? Don't have an expert. Just go analyze all the world's data, combine it in every possible permutation, and figure out, you know, what your hypothesis should be from that.
So that's astounding. So instead of having a thesis that's then tested, it creates as many theses as it can, quote, think of out of the data, the majority of which I'm sure is complete rubbish.
Correct.
But occasionally they'll hit on something that will be very important.
Exactly. And when we did this, probably the greatest learning of this is it works okay. It works okay. And there are companies in the world that are using that approach, for example, to mine all of the data in the ocean to try to come up with a new pharmaceutical based on naturally occurring combinations. And it works, but it's not great. But if you put it together with a domain expert, so digital plus domain, AI that, plus domain.
That is a person knows what it's about.
That scientific guru can harness that power and channel it, because the scientist knows, that's rubbish. They know, you know, look, kill all that, but let's go back over here. I hadn't thought about that before. And so when you watch the AI and the human, they actually form a collaborative bond.
So
that generates amazing.
I mean, it sounds like we're on the beginning of a remarkable expansion of human innovation. Where it's going to go, we don't know, but of great benefit to humankind.
Yeah. So
why, therefore, does it try again? Why did those guys say stop? What are they worried about?
Oh, yeah. So again, for good reason, because AI learns by looking backwards. If we're not careful, it will replicate all of our mistakes. It will naturally assume that the human biases that we've had over the centuries are the way we are, and that's the way we like it, and therefore we should repeat them. Well, we don't want to do that. We want to get better from our past.
So the AI is inherently conservative.
Yeah. So think of it as a child.
Yeah.
It's learning. It's in the early stages of learning. It's sort of rapidly approaching, you know, becoming a teenager. We all know how challenging teenagers can be as parents. But if we channel it right, if we teach it the best parts of ourselves, then we're far more likely to get a well-balanced adult who will be a partner and a collaborator rather than, you know, the Terminator.
Is AI a threat or a boon to a liberal society?
Yes. it's both. So we used AI and Ciro to come up with a better market vision for Australia's future. And again, modelling
Australia's future.
Correct. Yeah, we threw it at a whole nation. Because Australia is small in terms of population, so there's only a small number of things that we could hope to be best in world at in terms of innovation. We also have a series of very unique problems. We're the driest continent on the planet. So how do we harness our strengths to overcome our challenges based on what we think is going to happen going forward? So AI can combine all this history and it can try and project different scenarios for the future. And then humans can look at that and say, actually, that one could happen. And therefore, what would we need? Let's work backwards. How do we avoid that happening? And of course, the classic example, and this is what I like about capitalism. For years, 20 years, cattle farmers got blamed for causing climate change. Bill Gates said, if cattle were a country, they'd be the third largest emitter on the planet. And poor cattle farmers can't fix that, right? It's not their fault, right? Humans eat cows and cows produce methane.
Yes.
So we went out to the cattle industry. They accepted us, despite the fact that many of our own scientists had been rubbishing them in the media for years. They accepted us and we said, hey, how can we help you? And so using a series of AI algorithms to model scenarios for genetic breeding, we came up with a way to make a food supplement for cattle that almost eliminated their emissions. Now, did the cattle industry resist that? No. they said, wow, if we can do that, and actually it's a little bit more beneficial for the cow as well, of course we'll embrace it. And that product, a unique Australian product, is now sold in Europe, the United States, and it's used widely in Australia because it solves an economic problem as well as a societal problem. And that's what science can do. It can solve that seemingly impossible problem.
And you said you like capitalism because it enables this innovation.
Well, exactly. So if you want industry to be more sustainable, make sustainability profitable for industry, and you'll get no argument from industry.
Yes. Rather than using regulation as the main lever. I know there's a room for regulation, it must be, as the main lever. Well, when I said good or bad, you said yes. What's the yes to the bad?
So if it's misused as it is, so for example, many of your cyber threats today are driven by basic AI algorithms that can mimic and learn human behavior. So to do phishing or spear phishing, AI can go online, it can learn everything it needs to know about you, and it can craft an argument that is so convincing to you because it knows you that you'll go, maybe this is real. And it will trick you. And if you don't believe me, there's a little Aussie company called Curious Thing.
Yes.
That designed an AI to interview candidates. And this is for big companies where they might get 10 or 20,000 letters from people. It can call the human, the candidate. It will do a series of interview questions to determine, to filter, should the company interview that person?
Yes, yes.
It has a personality type engine. It has a lie detector in it. And based on basic principles, it will isolate you out of the candidate pool. Now, that's a great efficiency tool for a business, but if it's designed by a bunch of 25-year-old white male engineers, then the risk is that if a African-American or an Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander does the test, it will think they're lying or it'll personality type them wrong because it doesn't understand their culture because it hasn't been designed.
In other words, it hasn't got that broader human ability to judge on a wider theme of things, because AI is about precision in a way. It's noughts and ones at the end of the day, the computer. Whereas humans, I think, may think in other than simply that binary way about kind of things. Yeah. So what you're saying is AI gives humans much more power. And because that means more power to solve the problem of methane emissions from cows, and much more power for me to find out how to rip money off other people.
Exactly. So like all science and all technology, it's all about who's using it and what their objective is.
So is this fair in the history of
human? It's us.
In the history of innovation, that's probably the story, is it not? With the coming of the Industrial Revolution, good and bad, the coming of the chemical revolution of the late 19th century, the coming of the electrical revolution. In a way, we should relax from that because all it's doing is making us stronger for good or evil.
That's right.
So maybe we shouldn't relax if that's the case.
No, not relax, but we have to be vigilant. But yeah, John F. Kennedy was worried in the 60s. I think he said something like, you know, the greatest threat to our future is automation because it'll eat up all the labor force. Now, ironically, that automation and innovation actually drove an amazing period of prosperity for the United States.
Actually, let's deal with that question because this is not the one of the evil AI. It's the AI will take all our jobs away.
Mm.
In the past, this has often been worried about. People broke loom machines in England, and there is a fear. In the short term, I suspect it's true. People will lose jobs. In the long term, though, I don't think it is true. Am I right? Because the innovation will create new jobs and new situations.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, the way I sort of put it, I did six companies. They were all in different markets, six startups, but. Every sort of 5 years, I reinvented myself. So I started off as a scientist.
It must have been exhausting.
No, it was energizing. It was amazing. It was so much fun because, you know, you're learning something new. And when you come into a new market as a human, your imagination, your knowledge, you're able to see the uncomfortable truths of that market that someone who might have been in it for 20 or 30 years can't see anymore. And so you disrupt it. That was my past, but I think it's everyone's future. We can't be an accountant for 20 or 30 years. We have to evolve. And these intelligent agents, they can replicate, you know, a bookkeeper. But what that should mean, if the bookkeeper is willing to evolve, then their work will escalate. It'll become more strategic. It'll become higher value.
Higher level than the detail, to my Monday work of bookkeeping.
Right. One of the most amazing examples I saw in Syro, we tried to transcend our structure, and every company, is limited by their structure, limited by their hierarchy. And innovation is all about, you know, unstructured, self-forming teams. We tried to harness AI, essentially predictive analytics and machine learning, to help the teams form, to find the right people to put on the project and forget about the structure of the organization. Now, it's very disruptive, but if you've heard of the holacracy, this is the structure that Zappos has. Right. It feels like chaos. There are no managers. You know, everyone's a manager. No one's got a single line of reporting. It breaks all of the basic rules of business. But Zappos is an amazingly efficient company because it uses this uncomfortable truth of, you know, you need a bit of chaos to have innovation. AI can help us manage that. Now, do we crack it at Syro? No, but we sure put a good dent in it. And I reckon over the next sort of 5 to 10 years, absolutely we'll crack it.
I've no idea what a holistic company is.
So most companies have a pyramidal structure.
Yes.
They have a CEO and a board and so on, report. But the things that the people underneath that do are generally organized by, by project or by customer.
Yes.
But they're stuck in silos. And Syro is very much like this. We're stuck in, you know, I'm a physicist, you're a chemical engineer, you're a digital person. Innovation happens when you bring them all together. But how do you do that seamlessly to work on a particular problem? And how do you manage that when maybe you've got one person who's working on six different projects? How do you manage that?
Very complicated.
But the HR, when you start to use an intelligent agent to manage the basic functions of HR, that HR human can then advance to figuring out that problem of how do you manage this chaos of a holacracy.
So, agent example. I won't go any further there. Rather rabbit hole. AI, you're saying, is going to enhance human capacity for good or ill. Let me ask about some of the, is it a danger for freedom in the sense it creates the power for a subordinate state?
Oh, again.
It makes 1984, where there was a corner, I may remember, in his room where he couldn't be seen, make that impossible.
Mm. So using the data from the past, AI can make educated guesses about the future. It can't predict the future, but it can predict what you're going to say or what you're going to write. And if you use your iPhone or the latest version of Word, they have predictive text.
I've noticed that.
Yeah. Yes. And all it's doing is it learns by the combination of words that you use in the past and others use it. It kind of thinks, yeah, there's a 70% chance you're going to want to say this. And most of the time it's pretty right. So it is predicting your behavior in a way. Some things about human behavior can be predicted. Where we get into trouble is if we assume that we can get it 100% right. And if you've used ChatGPT, you know, it will give you almost whatever answer you want, depending on how you ask the question.
And I think the genius of the human is that's 30% not predictable.
Exactly.
If I'd say so. Well, I write pieces. And I don't mind being helped along. I don't mind predictive text once it's finally, because I'm a very bad speller. But it's the thing it can't think of that makes the difference.
Exactly.
What kind of society should we be then in order to get the most out of AI? What kind of government and legal structure should there be?
Yeah, so I think like all branches of science and technology, you know, we have Australia has very strict gene regulation technology. So in Australia, we use genetic engineering to breed strains of crops that are immune to climate change. So today, Australian wheat is actually a higher yield by about 30% than it should be because of the effects of climate change. But Australian science got ahead of that, and it bred strains that, you know, we're immune to that. We're trying to do the same thing with corals to protect the barrier reef. So again, I can give you countless examples of the great outcomes of using AI. But basically, if you're doing something like genetic engineering, you can either test millions of combinations or you can have AI use its predictive analytics capability to do that for you and then use a human to help it narrow in on the combinations that have the best chance of working. Just to put it in concrete terms, when we used to try and breed a strain of a crop, it might take 7 years. With machine learning and predictive analytics, you can accelerate that. We think you might be able to do it in 2 years. And that's important because that saves years of work.
My question is, some will attempt to regulate. As always in society, there's the regulators and there's the freedomers. And classical liberalism wants to say that the onus must be on the regulator to justify it, because overregulation can destroy or damage human innovation and self-organization. What do you think, as a leader in this field, is the kind of regulation or kind of structure that society have in order to get the best out of the AI without the worst?
Yeah, so I was very proud of Malcolm when he was Prime Minister.
Malcolm Turnbull.
Yes, and that was one of his first things is, how do we come up with an ethics framework to govern AI without stifling it? And so he tasked CSIRO with that role. How do we create an AI framework? And we did it in collaboration with pretty much every digital group in the country. But it was basic principles, like it can't be a black box. And most AI is a black box.
Which means
you have to be able to interrogate what's
going on inside.
You have to be able to verify that it's not telling you what it wants to tell you. That it's
and other ones.
It doesn't have our inherent biases programmed into it.
Right.
I can tell you, as good a job as you think you do programming it, it's almost impossible for it not to inherit your biases as a human.
I would have thought so. Actually, there's a sense in which we can't not be biased. Yeah.
We can't
see the world as God sees it that way.
And it must tell you the truth. In terms, you know, if it's doing science, it has to give you scientific truth. And that's, in a way, the hardest one for AI because, you know, there aren't many absolute truths, particularly in science. So how do you get it to...
Yes.
What you want it to do is to tell you there's an 80% probability that this is right. And of the 20% where it could be wrong, here's where I think it might be wrong. So it has to be a very good human. It has to be an angel. Really tell you the truth about its flaws.
Yes. It's been very, very interesting. Thank you so much. You strike me as a massive optimist, or rather hopeful. It's not just a cheery personality. You have great hope for the future that this human innovation will have for our planet and for our race. You are optimist.
I am, but I'm an innovator. And
okay.
I've never worked in government in my life until CSIRO. And I do see this collision between innovation and regulation.
Okay.
And they've got to figure out a way to coexist because, you know, government policy can set a target, but the only thing that can deliver the target is innovation, particularly in the case of, say, climate change. Wouldn't matter what speech a politician gave, the only way you're going to get to net zero.
You can't pass a law to make things better.
Right.
You've got to pass a law of a framework in which people can innovate to make things.
Yeah, so governments can provide a framework of rules, and then it's up to innovators and capitalists to figure out how to use that to actually create economic value and create jobs.
Yeah.
Because without jobs, we don't have a society.
Larry, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
This is Liberty in Question. I've been speaking with Larry Marshall, or have I?
If you enjoy this content, please consider joining us by becoming a member of CIS. You'll be part of Australia's growing movement towards free markets, individual liberty, cultural freedom, and a limited government. Join today at cis.org.au/membership.